restent soudés. Et parfois soulevés, nos deux corps enlacés s'envolent et retombent tous deux épanouis, enivrés et heureux. Et la joie qu'elle a poussée par son sourire me transperce et rejaillit au fond de moi. Mais soudain, je pousse un cri parmi les rires quand la foule vient l'arracher d'entre mes bras. Emportée par la foule qui nous traîne.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and KBOO.FM on the web. Next up, we have Fight the Empire. The time is 8:59.
Good morning. This is February 4th, and the show is Fight the Empire. My name is Per Fogren. Well, it looks like Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi both agree that when a mob of insurgents stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, Vladimir Putin was pulling their strings, said Pelosi, quote, unbeknownst to them, they are Putin's puppets. Well, one has to ask, without Putin, would they be just a bunch of lifeless marionettes on the floor? I don't think so. Now, looking at Russia, it looks like the strings are not working very well. The puppets are loose, and they're looking for a better life. The best thing the U.S. could do is leave them be and let them not mess things up any worse. But getting back to the demonization of Putin, this is from Henry Kissinger, who, whatever else you may think about him, he's not a stupid guy. And he said, the demonization of Vladimir Putin is not a policy, it is an alibi for not having one. So Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi are calling for some sort of a 9/11 type commission to investigate the storming of the Capitol. It looks pretty clear to me what happened. A bunch of guys in red hats, Trump supporters, I really don't know if they thought they were going to take over or where they were going with this thing. They stormed into the Capitol. They scared a lot of people inside. Some apparently waved their guns around, but did they really think that they were going to seize the Capitol, and then what? I mean, it's just, I really kind of wonder how far they thought this would this would go. If anybody has any observations or any opinions on this, the number to call is 503-231-8187. What do you think about the storming of the U.S. Capitol? What do you think they were after? Getting back to Putin pulling their strings, you know, we don't have a commission to investigate, but we do have other observers, and one of them was the late Professor Stephen Cohen, who is an eminent historian and an expert on Russia. And he wrote an article in The Nation magazine a few years ago called Who Putin Is Not. And he points out that when Putin first took over Russia, he was appointed by Boris Yeltsin, I believe. When he became president of Russia in 2000, he was welcomed at first. The West seemed to think they could get along without him, but then came the bashing. Another thing that Stephen Cohen points out is that Putin didn't kill democracy in Russia. This was done a few years before under President Boris Yeltsin, when he lined up the artillery and shelled an elected parliament in 1993. Yeltsin wanted to have a presidential type government, and the parliamentarians wanted to have, naturally enough, a parliamentary type government, which is what they have in most in many European countries. As Professor Cohen pointed out, Putin is not a dictator. According to U.S. diplomat Jack Matlock in Russia, quote, power is based on balancing various patronage networks. There are lots of powerful people, oligarchs in Russia, and according to Cohen, Professor Cohen, that they wield a lot of independent power, and Putin is apparently trying to keep things from getting too unbalanced and keeping them in some kind of balance. Another thing that Professor Cohen pointed out is that Putin did not create a kleptocratic economic system. This took place under Yeltsin. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But in the year 2000, after 10 years under Boris Yeltsin, 75% of Russians were living in poverty. And this was a great deal of this was reversed by Putin. And so this is one reason why, as undemocratic as we think he is held in high esteem by a lot of Russians. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be in power. But there's a lot of talk that you know, Putin has been called a murderer and a thug and whatever. But when you look at the actual facts, in the year 2000, by 2018, 41 journalists had been killed under Boris Yeltsin. Now, this is not due to Boris Yeltsin, but this is done when Boris Yeltsin was the president of Russia. 41 journalists had been killed in those 10 years. In the time since then, same number had been, by 2018, a similar number had been killed under Putin, which the responsibility for a lot of these killings One is Chechen insurgents who were playing for some of them, and also some of the kind of the criminal gangs that have a lot of power in Russia. So this is sort of should be a corrective, you know, to this this demonization of Vladimir Putin. He's not a great guy, that's for sure, but he does not pull the strings the way Nancy Pelosi thinks. He is hemmed in. He is, according to Professor Cohen, he is trying to keep things from getting out of hand with a lot of independent power centers in Russia. But that doesn't stop some would-be regime changers. We have Michael McFaul was once the U.S. ambassador to Russia, and recently he wrote an article in Foreign Affairs magazine, and where he advocates putting NATO troops on the borders of Russia, support the friendly to the United States in Ukraine. Support other countries on the southern border of Russia, like Armenia and Georgia and Uzbekistan. Also regulate the Russian-controlled media in the United States. This could be RT, which used to be called Russia Today, television network, and also Sputnik News. Michael McFaul would have us regulate those media enterprises. And also, finally, McFaul would say we should not really deal with the Russian government. We should bypass the Russian government and kind of link up with the Russian people. I'm not sure exactly how this would, how we would do this, but it's this is what some people like Michael McFaul still advocate. The bottom line here is that Russia will not be made democratic by troops on the border. Russia is going to have to evolve into a better democracy on its own. If anybody wants to call in with observations on this or your opinion, number to call is 503-231-8187.
We have Anime on the line.
We have Anime on the line. Good morning.
Morning, Per.
How are you doing?
Well, my mind is reeling from all the information that you just laid down.
Kind of compressed, isn't it? Okay.
No, and I hear what you're saying. It made me reflect a lot and kind of shift a little bit, because you originally prompted with the storming of the Capitol. And then the earlier when I was listening, you first mentioning Russia, so trying to figure all this out, you know, usually books are the standby, but lately there's a lot of internet information coming at me. And with all this free time, I mean, seems like everybody's on the internet. We've got these Proud Boys here in Portland. We've got the first examples of that, you know, street booted folks trying to use physical violence, but then there's the internet influence, and so there seems like they're pushing this Russia narrative. But I see, especially, you know, the dreaded Q being brought up, it's some alphabet agency, more likely some kind of a psyop, because you look at the general shifting of energy, this Q PSYOP or LARP or whatever it is on the internet. There's an analog you see in Europe with the yellow vests. Q was there in Italy, the fascists in Italy, Q was there. And it seems, and when you look at Russia, why would they be pointing at Russia? It's peak oil, the bumpy plateau of peak oil. Mike Rupert was absolutely correct. You know, we saw an example of that when the USSR fell. We saw the Cuba, North Korea effects of oil being nabbed out, right? And follow the money, it's the mob, cops, politics to war. The real patriots in this Q psyop, this is just my according to the access to information that I have at this time, it seems like real patriots, quote unquote, they're being grouped up to diffuse their potential organizing power from where I'm standing because of the power of the blue-green alliance, right? Active lefties, green. The fair-minded, tolerant Republicans, blue, right? In the workforce, Republicans. So that, and then you added all of the specifics of Russia as to the how they're doing it. So I want to listen off the air because I know you have the experience, but that's where, you know, when I add the internet information, mm-hmm. all this, it's a mess. So thank you for listening, Craig. I really appreciate your show a lot. And well, KBOO, yeah.
pretty complicated situation. I'm not sure where to begin, but I think what I started to say in the beginning of this show is that people seem to think that Vladimir Putin is pulling all the strings and kind of makes people in this country do his bidding. That's what Pelosi and Clinton were saying, that these people who were storming the U.S. Capitol were kind of having their strings pulled and they were set in motion by Putin. And I don't think so. I think they have their own ridiculous complaints. They have their own outlook on what is going on in this country, and they're taking their own measures. And I don't think Putin really has that much to do with it. But to blame it all on Putin is sort of very convenient, because it kind of it sort of shifts the blame from what is going on in this country. How do these? One thing I would like to know is how do these people even get into the U.S. Capitol? I hear stories that they were kind of that the Capitol police kind of stood back and allowed them to storm the building, and it seems like that there was some sort of possible collusion. And to me, this is very disturbing. And this is even more disturbing than Russian meddling. That somehow the forces of law and order in this country would stand back and allow these people to kind of rampage through our national capital and cause a lot of trouble. So this is something. If they're going to have a 9/11 commission to investigate this, this is something they should really look into. If anybody else has an opinion on this, the number to call is 503-231-8187.
George is on the line.
We have George on the line. Good morning, George.
Hey, morning, Pear. Thanks. And I'm going to want to mention very briefly, because you're talking about really what's going on now and the demonization of Putin, a book that deals with Stalin and a similar sort of demonization of Stalin that has gone on for years, but I don't want to take too much time. I want to mention the book and its author. And it's called Blood Lies. That is liar, like liar, liar, pants on fire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the author is Grover Fur, who for years was a specialist in medieval English literature.
Okay.
In New Jersey at a college. And a few years ago, he became interested when a professor, Timothy Snyder of Yale University, wrote a book proposing several main points that said, in Soviet Russia, Joseph Stalin and the clique of people who were running Soviet Russia were responsible for murdering millions of people. And I think there were 11 other charges of very serious criminal behavior by the Stalin and the people in the 1920s and 30s after Lenin died, who came to power right on through the 30s. So Grover Fur decided to take a vacation from being an expert on medieval British literature and to spend some time learning Russian and writing a book about what may have been really happening. And the book is called Blood Lies, and he said to his amazement, as he spent time working with a librarian in Soviet Russia at the archives, that every one of the charges that Professor Snyder of Yale had made, I think there were 12, and when Fur spent 14 years looking at the footnotes that Professor Snyder used, claiming that the material in those from Soviet articles and sources, books, source materials too, would support every one of his charges. Fur said he was amazed it took him 14 years, but he said on every one of the points, it turned out that Professor Snyder's cited references failed to support his claims. And so I'd like to get off the phone now, but I think what you're doing is very helpful, because we've had a demonization of Russia. And one of the last things Noam Chomsky said a few months ago, when he was being interviewed, I think, by Amy Goodman, and he was just heading for his home now in New Mexico, or is it, or there, and he talked about some of the things that are going on that are a little bit crazy. He didn't use the word, but he said, and something like there are these evil demons out there, like Russia. And he didn't use the word demons either, but he came close to it. So I want to thank you, because I think we've had a long-term obsession with looking away from some of our own dynamics, which create problems, and trying to pin them on somebody else. Thank you so much.
No, thanks for your call. I think that, well, I think it's true that the U.S., is at least some political operators in this country, have any kind of fixation on Russia. Well, this is certainly true during the Soviet Union days. Stalin was not a very great guy, put it that way. How bad he was, that's a matter of opinion. But anyway, the U.S. has had this fixation on Russia. You'd think that when the Soviet Union collapsed, that things would get better, and they actually did for a while. But then, as Professor Cohen remarked, that things kind of went back to the old hostility, and so now we have this idea that Vladimir Putin is pulling all the strings and kind of killing people right and left, which I do not think is true. As you pointed out just a little while ago, that a lot of journalists were killed under Boris Yeltsin. When Boris Yeltsin was in charge of Russia, he kind of privatized the Soviet economy. And what happened was that people in the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, who had control of public assets, were able to sell them cheap to Western money men, and the money men got rich, and so did the Russian nationals, who kind of became the oligarchs. Now, this happened under Boris Yeltsin, and he sort of practically destroyed the Russian economy until the U.S. was a part of this. The U.S. certainly interfered with Russian political life in 1996 when Yeltsin was running for re-election. We had a team of media people, political operators, out there helping his campaign. Now, if this isn't meddling, I don't know what is.
Harry's on the line.
We have another caller on the line. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. One of the reasons why they demonize Putin and Russia right now was because when when the Soviet Union, they didn't collapse, they changed. Remember perestroika and a couple other words. They kind of changed, and they did it on their own. But mm-hmm. the reason why we're demonizing them now is because when it fell, the first thing we thought, oh, great, peace dividend. You probably haven't heard that word in a while.
And then it kind of vanished, didn't it?
Yeah, and the idea was to, we don't have to spend all this money on the military, right? Mm-hmm. But the military-industrial complex is kind of behind this, too, because we want to make these weapons and keep these troops and everything else. Here's a good example. In England, believe it or not, we have 40,000 military personnel. I says, well, why do we have 40,000? You know, England is a nuclear power, so why do we need 40,000 military personnel there? The air bases, our submarine bases, and a few other things, but, you know, you kind of think that would have gone down. Now, you go, like, say, France. Well, France does not have any U.S. troops on, even though it's a NATO country. There's no troops, U.S. troops in France. They want to make sure they're independent. Then we go to Germany. Well, we've occupied Germany for 75 years, and I've never really heard any of the Germans say, look, this is enough. We want U.S. troops out. Well, don't get me wrong. Trump tried to pull out 18,000. Well, they could have put him in Poland if they want to, but it's like, well, 18,000 troops to keep them supplied and everything, that's quite a bit of money. But none of the Germans ever say, well, it's time for you guys to leave. I mean, don't get me wrong, we have U.S. bases there that have nuclear missiles and nuclear bombers, so we probably should stay there, but U.S. troops, not really, we don't really need. They're not a threat to us at all. Mm-hmm. So the military-industrial complex, that's why we're doing it, so we can spend more money.
Well, it's very interesting. I used to be one of those troops in Germany years ago when I was in the Army. I was stationed in Germany, and actually, for me, it was like a really nice tour of duty. It was stationed in Bamberg and Würzburg, which are both nice towns, and at that time, beer was cheap, and had a real good time over there, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I was also over there. My father was in the Air Force, and this was back in the 60s, and we were at Bitburg Air Base, which mm-hmm. is right outside Trier, which was a Roman city
mm-hmm.
built by the Romans. And I was there, and I was in first grade in 1963 when President Kennedy was assassinated. And I remember the air raid sirens going off. They sent us all home when they found out that Kennedy was assassinated, because we thought, oh, this is a war, because, you know, but it didn't happen. But, you know, something I will always remember when Kennedy was shot. I was, you know, in Germany, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in...
Whoop, we lose that caller?
Okay, that should be it. Hey, thank you very much for everything.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay.
I've got a few minutes left. I'd like to kind of switch to some local news here. There are two bills in the Oregon legislature that would allow municipalities to create public banks. And there's a Senate Bill 339 and House Bill 2743 that would allow cities in Oregon to have their own banks. And the thing that they would be able to do is float bond measures. The way it is now, when we say we pass a $1 million bond measure for public schools, that money, sort of, we borrow that money from private banks, and we pay a lot of interest. So having public banks would allow the state to do the same thing without paying that high interest, perhaps no interest at all. And so there are these two bills that are in the legislature right now, and I think they should be supported. They are very important. Trying to think who is the who are the legislators involved. Well, you could call your own state senator, your state representative, and tell tell that person to support whatever bill is appropriate, whether the Senate Bill 339 or House Bill 2743. This would save the taxpayer a lot of money, and it would allow allow the good things to happen that government can do. And so these are really these are worth your support. So check it out. You can go online and see where these bills are right now in the state house. So we've been talking for the most part about how much power Vladimir Putin really has, and the consensus here lists that he does not have as much power as we think he has. The best thing to do as far as helping Russia move towards democracy, I think, is to leave them alone. I think Russians are capable of getting a democracy on their own. They do not need our troops on their border. We do not need the U.S. Stirring things up.